It's really important what I have to share with you. It's vitally important. It's concerning your soul, concerning your soul's destiny, concerns the eternal issues of life, everything about us, our well-being, regardless if we think differently. I'm glad I'm here.
Yes.
This has been my habit now for almost 40 years. This has been my habit. It's a good habit to have.
Yes.
Be in the house of God. Be in the Word of God.
Yes.
I don't think there's not a day. There's not a day that goes by where I know I haven't access the Word, I haven't spoken to Him. Mm-hmm. He's always on my mind.
Yes. Amen.
I think about Him. Mm-hmm. And vital, it's very vital. Amen. To our existence, to our to our life, to our living. It's very vital to be mindful. To acknowledge Him. And that's what we have to do. We have to acknowledge Him. He's in a room with us right now.
Amen.
So we acknowledge His presence. We want to let Him know that we love Him and we entreat Him. We want Him to have His way, His liberty. I want you to turn with me to the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And the Lord gave this to me, I guess, a little over a week ago. And you read the story that is spoken here in chapter 9. We're not going to pay attention to the first part of the story here, everything that He's speaking about here, and what's happening in this dialogue. We're going to basically focus on one particular passage of Scripture that I find really unique. And there's times that you don't really realize the significance of the Scripture or even a passage of Scripture. And you've heard myself say this and you've heard others say this numerous times, that there's some days when you're reading the Word of God and all of a sudden you're coming across a passage of Scripture and all of a sudden it just jumps out at you.
Yeah.
And it just makes an impact on you. And you know, and usually when that happens to me, I always make note. I always, you know, if I don't have a bookmark or a piece of paper and a pen, I'll mark it. And because there's something, there's a reason why it jumps out at you that way. It comes to life and it just jumps out at you. And but in verse number 31, if you're there with me in John chapter 9. And for your own homework, read the whole chapter so you can get a gist of what he's talking about here. But this is really important. It says, now we know, verse 31, that God heareth not sinners. God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God. You notice how he said that?
Right.
A worshiper.
Right.
And doeth his will, him he heareth. So, you know, it comes down to the very, how would I say, the intricate details. Coming down to what it really is to understand. First of all, where we are right now, as far as our relationship with the Lord, with God. I want you to understand this. It's important for all of us if we claim to be believers in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're all here because of His grace,
yeah. Right.
Because of His mercy. Amen. We're all here. Amen. Somehow or another, through some manner of contact, we're here. Mm-hmm. Via maybe your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister or whoever it may be, somehow you're here in the house of God. And I wouldn't think that that's not important, because it's very important. Thank God you're here in the house of God.
Yes.
And it's no coincidence you're here, but I want you to understand this. As far as a relationship that we have with Him, knowing Him, walking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, living for Him, and living with Him. That's important. So when you come to that, you know, the knowledge of salvation, and you're saved, there's something that happens where he basically gets a hold of our life. And our life is one that our life, basically, should be the center of our life. Everything we do is because He's in the center of our life. Did you realize this? You could live a life with somebody being in the center of it. Did you realize that? You're not living unto yourself, like Paul says. A lot of you think you're living unto yourself. You're not. You're living because somebody or something is in the center of your life. So I want you to understand this. It's all based upon a relationship. It's all based upon the contact. It's all based upon influence. It's all based upon your actions. Amen. That are connected to whatever, you know, that may be. If it's a person, if it's an object, even if it's a thought. And how you base your life around that, you're going to find out you're going to have a relationship. You may not look at it that way, but you do have a relationship with that.
Right.
So that's what basically determines everything that you do in your life. Every motion, every thought, our behavior, our conduct is based upon our relationship, our connection with whatever that individual or that thing may be. Mm-hmm. Is that understandable?
Yes.
So here's the thing. We get down to this now. To me, when we speak about this, and the focus or the topic of this particular scripture verse is this. It's prayer. Mm-hmm. It's prayer that is heard. He doesn't really talk about the prayer that is heard. First of all, what he says is, we know that God heareth not sinners.
Right.
That's something, because look who he's talking to. He's talking to a bunch of religious people,
right.
Pharisees and Sadducees.
Right.
And here he is. He's a person that doesn't have all that knowledge and intellect concerning God. And he's saying, he said, we understand this. It's pretty simple. God doesn't listen to sinners.
Right.
But he says, but if any man be a worshiper, if any man be a worshiper of God. So what is going to bring us to that point of our relationship with God is this. And whether you realize this or not, you worship. If you don't worship God, you're worshiping someone else or something else in your life. So that determines your relationship. Everything you do, like I said, everything that your life consists of is because of your relationship or your devotion. A lot of people don't know that, but a lot of people worship money.
Right. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
Yep.
A lot of people worship their job. A lot of people worship their husband. A lot of people worship their life or the wife. There's a lot of things you can worship. You bow down to. You acknowledge, huh? You follow after. Huh? Praise God. You just love and adore. So that's the way that should be our experience. That should be our motive. That should be our very desire. That should be our want.
Yes.
To worship God, to acknowledge Him. Why? Because guess what? He's given us life.
Yes.
Everything about our life revolves around Him. If it wasn't for Him, we wouldn't be breathing.
That's right.
We wouldn't be experiencing life. So a worshiper is just to worship God. You know, let me just kind of give you an idea for those of you that don't really understand what I'm saying. But let me tell you something. I used to be so bound in sin. And I lived according to the sin that I was bound in. I did everything because of sin in my life, and be sin that was in my members, sin that was in my mind, in my heart. I lived my life according to that sin. So I did everything according to that sin. Amen. Followed it. Just did whatever. Praise God. My life was devoted to it. But now, my life has drastically changed. Now, I live my life, not for myself, I live my life to Him. Why? Because He saved me from sin.
Amen.
He delivered me from sin.
Amen.
And so everything I do, all my exertions, everything pertaining to my life, I live and I follow after Him. I worship Him. I acknowledge Him.
Right.
I have a relationship. I love Him.
Amen.
For what He's done for me. I'm just helping you understand. So he says, I'll read it again. We know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him he heareth. So in other words, guess what? It comes right down to it. How many of you have a relationship with somebody and you don't even say one word to them? It's not much of a relationship. You don't make any one move toward that person. You're not affectionate. You're not intimate with that person. How could you call that a relationship?
Right.
A person you have a relationship with, you're going to be drawn to them.
Right.
You're going to be pursuing them.
Right.
You're going to want to have such a relationship where it's going to be pleasurable, huh?
Right.
Because there's going to be, you know, of course, love and emotions and feelings and all that, because you want to be able to have a good relationship,
right?
Huh? You want it to be beneficial. You want it to be good. You want it to be prosperous. You want it to be successful. There's no way you can have a successful relationship. You can be blessed in a relationship if you don't apply yourself,
right,
to wanting to know that person. You understand what I'm saying? That's just an example.
Amen.
I remember when Brother Gerritsen was, you know, we were taught about prayer and prayer, to pray. Let me just break it down, and I've said this often, numerous times before. Prayer is just simply having a conversation with God.
Right.
Amen.
Huh? That's what prayer is. You're just simply talking to God. Like I'm talking to you right now. Talk to God. Have a conversation. I know you don't. You know, some people say, it's hard for me to pray because how do you pray when you're praying to somebody you can't see? Well, it's just like, you know, a lot of people have a conversation with themselves.
Right.
You could have a conversation with God. Let me tell you something. He does hear.
Amen.
He does hear.
Amen.
Those that He wants to hear.
Right. Amen. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right.
So You know, what we were taught about prayer, to pray. And I always remember this. They said the acronym for pray is this. P means praise. Jesus was teaching in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name. How great is your name?
Amen.
Praise.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So that's one thing that we need to learn how to do is praise God.
Right.
When we approach him, that's the thing about prayer. P is for praise. We worship him. We praise him. Why? Because he's good to us.
Right.
He's faithful to us.
Yes.
Okay? The second one is R, which means repent. To always have a mind of repentance. What does that mean? To always ensure that you're not going to be going back to that life that you used to live, but that your desire is that you're going to live a continuing repentant life. In other words, you're going to turn around and you're always going to be heading that direction toward God. Because repentance means this, doing an about face. You just turn around and go that direction. So you're always living that life where you're repenting. You're repenting. Because what would happen if you didn't have that mentality? Guess what? You would eventually go back to the place that you used to live. The sin that you used to live in. You would go back to. That's human nature. Always wants to draw back. Always wants to relapse. We're not to be that way. So that's why pray, praise. R, repent. Okay? Then here comes the A, ask. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with asking God for certain things. Mm-hmm. He wants us to depend on him.
Yeah.
Right. Huh?
Amen.
Human nature is we're built to where we depend on what people around us. We depend. That's how relationship is built. We depend on one another, huh?
Right. Amen.
We depend on our husband. We depend on our wife. We depend on our brother. We depend on our sister. So dependence is something that's always important. So what do? Because we depend on that person, we have the, I'm going to say this, we have the liberty to ask.
Amen.
To ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. There's nothing wrong with having confidence in our God saying that, Lord, you know my needs. Lord, you know what I need, Father. And if you're specific, if you tell him what it is, guess what? If you ask him, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Why? P-R-A-Y. Why is important? Because why means this. It means yield. So when we pray, we praise, we repent, we ask, and we yield. Guess what? Why is that important? Yield. Well, he said this. He said this. If a man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will. So that means that we yield ourselves. As Paul said, as instruments of righteousness. We yield these members. We yield them to God. In other words, these things aren't going to be doing what they used to do when we were living in sin. They're going to be yielded to God so that we can be instruments of righteousness.
Amen.
Praise God. Is that pretty understandable?
Yeah.
I remember talking to a person one time, and I'm not going to disclose it. This was years ago, by the way. Years ago. And trying to persuade her to come back to church. Trying to persuade her. Man. And I was dealing with a lot of things. And she said, I don't really need to be in church. She said, if I pray right where I am right here, she said, I know I'm fine. And I know God hears my prayer. So I said, do you really think so? She said, yes. I said, okay, if that's what you think. I said, show me in the scriptures where what you're saying is justified by the word.
Right.
And she couldn't think of any.
That's right. She won't find any.
So I said, the book of Psalms, this was the scripture I quoted to her, Psalm 66. If you go there with me, Psalm 66. And and this is what it says in Psalm 66. It says in verse, let's start with verse number 16. It says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. All that means is he was praised with my tongue. Or with my tongue, I praised him. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Wow. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Ooh. In other words, if I harbor, you know, iniquity is kind of a general term, because you're talking about a lot of things. It could be sin. It could be even your feelings, your emotions that are not good. Huh? It could be a lot of things. If you regard iniquity in your heart, in other words, if you let it stay in your heart, and you know that what it is not pleasing to God. Right. Negative thoughts. Right. Ill thoughts. Right. Huh? A lot of things. Bitterness. Yep. Hatred. Mm-hmm. Huh? A lot of things. Strife. A lot of things that are there. And you regard it. You let it abide there. Praise God. There's a word that should be used in this place. If I harbor, if I harbor these things, if I just let them, if I don't do anything with them,
right.
See, that's the reason why a lot of people are so reserved as far as their walk with God and the way they worship God. They're holding back. Why? Because obviously there's some things in their heart that they're letting, amen, just praise God, dominate your will, your mind, your spirit. That's why some of you can't worship God. That's why some of you can't pray. So it's really important for us to understand this. Here's, we can say, these are the pros and cons. The pros and cons about, you know, our spiritual well-being. I don't know about you, but I want to have peace in my life.
Yes, amen.
I want to have joy.
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
I just flat out want to be a easygoing person.
Amen.
Not looking for any trouble. And I hope trouble doesn't find me either.
Right. Amen.
Huh? I just want to experience. I just want to have good.
Yes.
Goodwill. I just want to have peace.
Amen.
I just want to be happy. I want to have joy.
Yes.
And I want to experience love. Because what would life be without love? When you don't have love. That love. Especially the love of God.
Yes.
That should abound. When you can't experience that. Man, you can't experience anything good. If you live a life without that, man, let me tell you something. No wonder people are miserable.
Right. Amen. Yep. Amen.
Proverbs 1:20, chapter 1. Go with me. Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll start with verse number 23. It says, turn you at my reproof.
Amen.
Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Turn you at my reproof. Ever realize what God is always trying to do for us? Every time we come in here?
Get us back on track.
Get us back on track. He's not trying to make you mad or offend you. He's not trying to condemn you. He wants to make your life better. How many times do I have to say that? God wants to make your life better.
Amen.
That's what he says. Turn you at my reproof. Every time, amen, you come into the house of God and the word of God speaks to you, it's because he wants you to turn.
Yes.
He says in verse 24, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. That's what the Lord is doing in here. God's calling out to you. The Lord's stretching out his hand to you. He said, come on. Come on. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. Everything I shared with you. Did you realize this? God is so good. He's sharing his counsel with you right now.
Amen.
He's letting you know the intricate things of his heart.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Wow.
And would none of my reproof. Ooh, didn't want to have anything with me trying to reprove you. Didn't want no part of it. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Look at that. When you're experiencing all these things, all these troubles, all these trials, all these problems, all the adversity, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer.
Wow.
They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me.
Wow.
That's why, saints, let me tell you something.
Wow.
We have our opinions.
Right. Amen.
But they don't line up with God's word. We might think that, oh, yes, you know, I know God would heal me. But let me tell you something. If you don't have it in your heart to even live for him,
right,
if you don't have it in your heart to regard him, to fear him, to do his will, guess what?
Right. Amen.
Here, let's just break it down. If you're that kind of person, guess what? You don't have any interest in God. God's not going to have no interest in you.
Right. Amen.
Woo. And then we wonder why.
Yeah.
Hmm? I think these things are important for us to understand.
Yes.
So basically what he's saying, right? But we're talking about here, like in Proverbs 28, he's talking about Proverbs 1, I'm going to say, in verse number 28, you know what that means? What he's talking about here, you know what that is? Indifference.
Right.
Having some indifference. That's what I mean. Like I said, we may have our opinions. Go over to Proverbs 28, and I'm just...
Wow.
I'm just presenting all this to you so that you can know, specifically, so you won't be deceived, because God will never deceive us. Proverbs 28, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Even his prayer shall be abomination. In other words, if you don't want to listen to what I'm speaking to you through the word, through the law, if you don't want to pay attention, let me tell you something. I want you to understand something. Everything that we hear up there, by the word of God, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, everything we hear, I want you to understand this. It's not a suggestion.
Right. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Right. It's not. That's right.
It's not a suggestion. The Lord says, oh, if you want to. You know what it is? It's a directive.
Yes.
How many of you parents understand this when you deal with your children? You don't give your children suggestions. You give them directives.
Yes.
In other words, hey, you do this.
Right.
And no lip back either.
Amen.
That's what it means. So when we do not, when he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. So everything that we hear, as far as God speaking to us, you know what? He's trying to enlighten us. He's trying to give us understanding through his word. He's trying to impart to us wisdom and knowledge. But what happens? I don't know if I selective hearing. When we despise the word, when we despise the law of God, selective hearing, selective. That's why it's not a suggestion. I was thinking about psychology. We did these, I went and did a series of studies on communication, and you might think communication, a lot of you probably don't know what I'm talking about as far as that's concerned, but communication, I'm talking about the relationship of individuals in a setting like in different businesses and different places. And one of the things that was really important in human services was in the place, like, for example, hospitals, psychological clinics, psychiatry, all the stuff to do with human services. Communication is something that's really important. You've got to develop communication skills. You have to be that kind of person to where you can communicate with a person, another person that you don't know. You have to develop those skills to, if you're in the field of human services, if you're there to assist and help that person, you have to have those skills. You got to have those skills. And a lot of people are not people persons. So you have to have that skill. You have to be able to communicate with that person. It's pretty difficult to do, especially if that person doesn't want to communicate with you. But one objective was, and one thing that they proved was this: you can speak to somebody. You can share certain, for example, communicative directives with them. You can share some communicative directives, and you can tell them. And they're sitting there looking at you, and you can tell them. But you know what? A good 85% of the time, even though you told them, even though you disclosed with them, even though you gave them information, you know what it was? You know what they did? They didn't pay attention.
That's right.
So they didn't follow what you was telling them. They weren't following your directive. See, that's the problem with us. I don't think it's so much in the way we deliver, it's how we respond.
Yes.
And what we hear, because if, you know, when you tell a person to do this, guess what's going to happen? They're not going to do just exactly what you instructed them to
yes.
do.
Right.
They're going to deviate from it.
Yes.
That's human nature. It's human nature. And here, what the Lord is trying to do, he's trying to whittle down everything concerning human nature in us. He's trying to refine us.
Right. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
He's trying to refine you. He's trying to, amen, develop.
Amen.
So you can be developed so that you can come to that place where you're going to be, man, you're going to be polished up. You're going to be a refined person.
Yeah.
You're going to know what it's like to be obedient
yeah.
and submissive.
Amen.
And not only that, loving.
Yes.
And faithful.
Amen. Amen. Right.
I kind of found that interesting. So why is it people have that problem? I guess it's not just church folks.
Right.
It's humanity as a whole. That's just human nature. Yes. They want to be disobedient.
Yes. Yep.
Want to be contrary.
Yes.
Huh?
Yep.
Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. I'm just showing you this so that maybe there's something that you're going to notice, you're going to come to in the passages that I'm sharing with you that would help you to understand why it is. Maybe you're wondering why isn't God hearing my prayer? So Isaiah 59 in verse number 1, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." God doesn't have a saving problem. God doesn't have a hearing problem.
Right. Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Then why is it? Why is it? You've got to think to yourself, why is it then? Well, he says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." I want you to understand. That's why it's imperative for us to know this. For us to be able to linger and embrace our sin and think we're going to be... Let me tell you something. You can't be a sinner and want to live for God. That's impossible.
Yeah, right.
And know God. It's impossible. Sin separates us from God. Literally. And that's what he said. He said, "Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear."
Amen.
Think about that. Think about that. In the book of Isaiah, if you want to go there, I'm just trying to somehow prove my point with you so you can understand and you can see, because I think this is really important. In Isaiah chapter 7, if you want to go there. Zechariah chapter 7. And we'll start with verse number 8. "And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother." In other words, hey, have some healthy relationship. Don't be biased. But be loving, be merciful, get along.
Right. Amen. Amen.
"And oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart." Ooh. Boy, he's getting pretty specific here.
Right.
He's getting pretty deep.
Amen. Amen.
Because obviously this must have been something that was there. But they refused. Verse number 11. "But they refused to hear again, and pulled away the shoulder." You ever do that? Anybody ever do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. All you adolescents, you're good at doing that. You know what that means?
Right.
Yep. Huh? I don't mean to pick on you ladies, but it seems like the ladies are always... That's what you call a shoulder snap off. Praise God. I'm just having a little bit of fun, if you don't mind. "Pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear." How many of you are doing that right now? Huh? I'm glad this is kind of a small sanctuary that way. Because if it was a big one, all of you probably would be hiding back there somewhere. So I guess, you know, I used to say this. We talk about big fellowships and big churches because we know some churches. I mean, we know there's some churches that they have thousands of. We went to a church in Denver, visited a church. We knew these people, but they had at least, I think, their attendance was like 3,000. We went there several times and you get lost in the, I mean, it's just that so many people, you get lost. And we were talking about big fellowships and Brother Gerritsen said, you know what, when your congregation gets that big, he said, you're no longer a pastor, you're a pesterer.
I like that. That's good.
I think maybe that might pertain to some small congregations too. I don't know. Amen. I always remember that. But he says, stop their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words with the Lord, which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, he's talking about the Lord. He cried to them, and they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts.
Wow.
Woo. Did you realize this? Every weekend, Paul said, by the foolishness of preaching,
right,
you're going to be saved.
Right.
So every weekend, every midweek service, guess what? The ministry is up here.
Yes.
Being directed, being anointed by God, by the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
We're not up here. This is not entertainment by any fashion. This is anointed preaching and anointed teaching. We're up here being directed by the Holy Ghost. We're speaking you the Word of God. But a lot of times what happens? You don't pay attention.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
You don't take it serious.
Right. Amen.
I'm not a smooth tongue orator. There's some people that can, it's just like, man, that slick as oil, as they say. But you know what? A lot of them, if they really wanted to preach like they should preach.
Yep.
Praise God. Say the right words, make it sound really pretty. Embellish and ornate. Make it sound pretty. Oh, that was. Brother Hancock used to say, man, I hate it when they sermonize like that. Don't get nothing done.
That's true. Wow. Amen.
Make everybody feel good.
Yeah. Right.
Huh?
Right. Yeah. Wow.
Sometimes, here's the thing. However it happens, whatever fashion it happens, God speaks to us his word, as he said here. He speaks to us his word. The Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. So when we turn our ear, when we turn away, it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to understand this. I'm being open with you. I'm being honest. I'm being truthful. When you turn your ear away from the word of God, the outcome is not going to be good.
Right.
It's going to catch up with you someday.
Yes.
Amen. That's why he said, I cried to them, and they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Stubbornness. That's what he was talking about. Stubbornness. Go with me to James. James, the epistle of James, chapter 1. And look what he says here. We'll start with verse number 5, I guess. Look what he says. Verse number 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. In other words, guess what? God is not going to be stingy.
Right.
He'll give to you.
Right.
And upbraideth not. He's not going to scold you when you ask. And it shall be given him. If you lack wisdom and you ask God, guess what he's doing? He's going to give it to you.
Right.
He's not going to hold back. Right. He's not going to scold you for it. You know what? He's delighted when we ask.
Yes.
He said, but let him ask in faith. When you ask, ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For he says this, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, don't be going back and forth. Let your mind be set.
Amen.
Can't be unstable. Amen. Not just in your asking, in your living.
Amen. Yes.
Right.
It's important for you, for us to understand that. Then you go over there in James, the same book, chapter 4, and we'll start with verse number 1. It says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust at war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. In other words, guess what? You're doing it because of self-indulgence.
Right. Right. Yep.
Yep. Think about that. Now, let me ask you a question. Since there's a few of you here, And a few of you that are here, you frequent the house of God pretty regularly. Does anybody see any drama? Does anybody experience any drama? Have you witnessed any drama in the church? We haven't. What do you see? You see peace. You feel peace.
Yes.
This is the way it is the majority of the time, isn't it?
Yes.
But you know what? This church has been accused of having drama in it. That's true.
That must be
this reminds me of what James just said in chapter 4. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust that war in your members? Guess what? And I say this, I bear witness to it. I don't see no drama.
Right.
I don't see nothing that. And the reason is, and we've been accused of that. But let me tell you something. It's only because when certain ones come around, that's when the drama comes.
Right.
And it really gets me to the point when people start to blame the church. I want to just go. Ah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking in ignorance. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
The Lord says, behave yourself.
Yeah.
Harold, I said, okay, Lord.
Wow.
Okay. You know, you can attack the church all you want. I know this. Not one of us in here are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
We all have flaws. But guess what? Here's the thing. We're We're learning. We're growing.
Yes.
We're developing.
Yes.
We're
yes.
getting, and yes. I'm going to say it this way, we're getting better at it.
Yes.
Because we're
Amen.
Practicing.
Right.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Because there's always people that are affected by sin, affected by infirmity, infected by sickness, infected by, you know, you name it. We're always adversity. There's always things we're going. We're not perfect, but guess what? We're striving.
Yes.
We're trying to do what's right.
Yes.
We're trying to
Amen.
Seek God.
Yes.
We're trying to keep our lives together.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the difference.
Amen.
So how can we, let me tell you something. When we're, you know what we're talking about today, turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. This is a famous scripture verse, but let me tell you something. It's all often overlooked. And people don't really see this. Look what he says. He's talking about prayer here. And we'll start with verse number 12. And second, chapter 7. Excuse me. I didn't give you a chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 12. Says this, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to be my to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, why would you think that would happen? Because they weren't pleasing God.
Right.
So he says, if my people, notice he says that, if my people which are called by my name, look what he says, shall humble themselves. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Oh. If all these are done, he said, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land.
Amen.
My. So when we follow the counsel, the advice of what he's speaking there, guess what? We're going to see some evident change. We're going to see God's grace. We're going to experience that. It's really good to know this. And in Jeremiah 29:13, he says this. He says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So that's the thing. I believe this. When you think about that prayer, scripture verse I just got done reading to you, Jeremiah 29:13, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Guess what? You're gonna find God when you search for him with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
See that, to me, it is true. God doesn't hear sinners' prayer. But when a sinner has a change of heart, and when a sinner humbles himself, and when a sinner calls upon God. What does the Bible say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Right.
So when you acknowledge your need of God, and when you humble yourself, and when you repent,
right.
God will move for you.
Amen.
If you're a sinner.
Amen.
You're given the,
right.
Amen. You're given the, how would I say, the permission. God will grant you. And that's why, when you read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, a lot of people, you know, they kind of, I've heard them speak about what Paul says here. They've taken it out of context. And but what Paul was talking about here is that when there's a day comes when a person approaches God and he seeks God and he's sincere, and verse number 1 that says, when we then, as workers together with him, beseech you that ye Receive not the grace of God in vain. In other words, amen. Don't receive him in vain. Mm-hmm. When God is moving in your life, don't disregard him. Don't disrespect him. Don't turn your heart or your ear from him. Huh? When God begins to move in your life, and that's what he says. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. And in the day of salvation have I succored thee. I have helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So what he's saying right now, that at the moment of time that you humble yourself to God, because that's what it's going to take, humility. When a person realizes his need of God, a sinner has need of God, he says, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Because you see my dilemma, you see my problem, you see my struggle. When he humbles himself, guess what? That's the accepted time. When you come to the Lord on his terms and not your own, that's the accepted time. That's the day of salvation. Wow. I'm almost done here. John chapter 15, verse number 7, if you go there quickly. It says, if ye abide in me, this is Jesus speaking, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. I like what Isaiah said in Isaiah 16:5-24. It said, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. When we're in that place with God that we need to be, guess what? Thank you very much for it. We'll take our break and we'll be back this afternoon. Prayer at 12:30. God bless you. Greet one another in Jesus' name. Oh.